Hello, everyone. Well, don't you just love the left-wing media and opportunistic politicians of Australia from both sides of politics with their short-term memories and selective memories? This was only 1 year ago.
The Prime Minister is quietly seething here on Breakfast Radio. It's the first time he's spoken publicly since the weekend's rallies, where we saw tens of thousands of people turning out down in Melbourne. We had them in Sydney and also up in Brisbane. And you get the sense here, he feels that all the hard work is really being put at risk. He's desperate to get the economy back open. But he used words like double standards. And when he's talking there about the double standards, he's specifically talking about the business owners, the cafes who can only have 20-odd people in them here in Canberra, the restaurants and the tourism businesses, especially up in North Queensland, which are desperate to reopen and are really struggling at the moment. This is what the Prime Minister had to say on the radio about 25 minutes ago.
Well, I think people were respectful of the issue that was being raised.
The false narrative that was being peddled? I don't think so.
Broadly, I think the double standard that that they allowed themselves to perpetrate by turning up has offended, rightly, I think, Australians right across the country. There's no disagreement about the importance of the issue.
Yes, there is.
That they were talking about, but, you know, the way that was done and the suggestion that they might do it again sort of, I think, risks public support for even the issue they raise.
Now, Tom, you're about to hear from Jason Clare from the opposition. You get the sense here the opposition's walking a real tightrope. It doesn't want to say that it's opposed to the grabs, but it wants, rather, it doesn't want to say it's opposed to the rallies.
Says grabs when he meant to say rallies. If there was ever a Freudian slip from a journalist, that was it.
But it wants to acknowledge there is a problem. Let's have a listen to Jason Clare.
I was worried about the protests on the weekend. I'm worried about this too. I'm worried about that second wave we talked about. But, Pete, I'm also worried that the debate we're having here, where we're demonising people who do protest, runs the risk of creating a greater rift between black and white Australians.
Ah, but you're not worried about creating a rift between different groups of Australians now, are you? And you're certainly not worried about demonising protesters anymore. If anything, you're now promoting it. Where were the riot police dispersing White Lives Don't Matter protesters when they were marching during lockdown? That's right, nowhere to be seen. The best they could manage was to arrest Paddy McWhitetrader and fine him $1,000, which WLDM undoubtedly paid for him anyway. But then, if you really want to see absolutely no consequences, backlash or police intervention of any kind to conducting protests and large gatherings of people during a supposed pandemic, then you need look no further than women's protests for women's things for women about women.
Prime ministers of both persuasions go out and face the music. And I would have thought that the Minister for Women could have walked out the door and seen thousands of women.
Angry, tired and frustrated, they marched outside the People's House.
Look at the amount of Karen on that one.
Inside, the Prime Minister offered this observation.
Not far from here, such marches, even now, are being met with bullets.
Leaving some almost lost for words.
I was quite stunned, actually.
Yes, yeah, stunned into complete silence when it's the Victorian riot police turning up with rubber bullets to the current protests. Isn't it funny how the left have no problem with bullets when they're marked for their political opposition?
You know, it was a poor choice of words.
His colleagues left to clean up the damage.
The observation about the opportunity to protest peacefully and safely in Australia is an important one.
Unless you're a predominantly white, predominantly male construction worker who wants to keep earning the necessary income to feed their wife and children, then your right to protest suddenly becomes null and void. Your behaviour is appalling and you're probably a white supremacist, because white supremacist is the Australian media's new term for defining people who want to live in a free society. But the previous media grab I just showed makes for an appropriate segue for the next point to be made about short-term memory. ScoMo's point about the right to protest in this country without being met by bullets, which he said at the time in comparison to the then political situation in Myanmar, has been completely shat on by Chairman Andrews, the leader of the now Communist People's Republic of Victoria, who is solely and single-handedly to blame for causing the public unrest in Melbourne on two clearly distinct and definable fronts. One, by sending riot police to disperse and arrest protesters who would have remained totally peaceful had they not been set upon by Chairman Andrew's goons, and two, by exercising such fascist behaviour under the auspices of public control by decree rather than legislative processes that would normally ensure the protection of people's rights, something that suddenly doesn't seem to exist in Australia anymore. The justification for keeping you locked inside, obeying tenants like face masks, destroying private business, and keeping track of where you go and with whom you associate. In other words, the normalisation of everything classical liberalism and individualism previously protected you against is being justified out of the media-propagated narrative that COVID is just so life-threatening. Well, newsflash, dickheads, just about everything in life is life-threatening. Almost 2,000 people die in car accidents each year in Australia, but we don't ban cars. Around 60 people per year are hospitalised in the UK from injuries sustained from falls that occur to people whilst putting on their socks, but we don't ban socks. The fear promoted in the media and the disingenuous paper-thin veneer of feigned care and concern from our political leaders who only seek power and attention is just off the scale with this one. To put that idea into perspective, let's have a quick look at how likely you are to die of COVID. And as an example, let's go to where the media is constantly telling us that things are really bad, the USA. Let's have a look at the death rate from COVID in the USA by state as of the 24th of September 2021. The death rate in the worst state of all, Mississippi, is 316 in every 100,000 people. To clarify, though, that's not the death rate of those that have contracted coronavirus. It's the likelihood thus far that you will die of COVID as a normal functioning member of society. Now, let's put that on a bar graph. It accurately represents the percentage of the population that have died from COVID in the 2 years of the pandemic. That's right. Statistically speaking, it's fucking minuscule. I'm not trying to suggest in any way that COVID isn't a thing or that it's a virus to not be taken seriously. But like anything in life, you have to put things into correct proportion. And yet we continue to be force-fed garbage like this. COVID-19 deaths in US surpassed 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, but at least you get the occasional article that reads, "Why you should be wary of comparisons of the death tolls from the 1918 flu pandemic." I'm not even going to bother reading why you should be wary of such comparisons. It should be obvious. The population of the US in 1918 was 103 million. It's now more than three times that. So statistically, COVID deaths haven't surpassed Spanish flu deaths. They're actually one third of them. Nothing but clickbait headlines to make money and frighten people. It's like telling people, "I have 6 teaspoons of sugar in my coffee. That's a lot of sugar, isn't it?" Whilst hiding the fact from them that this is the size of your coffee cup. In a cup this size, 6 teaspoons of sugar isn't very much sugar at all. Now let's talk about lockdowns and begin with backtracking to the previous chart I showed regarding death rates in the US. We know that states like Florida and South Dakota have rejected lockdowns and chosen not to inflict their citizens with financial ruin and draconian authoritarian domination. If lockdowns were effective against stopping the spread of the virus, one would expect to see noticeable spikes in this graph, with South Dakota and Florida topping the list of death rates. And whilst the two examples of anti-lockdown states are up there near the top of the list, they're really no different to other affected states that have imposed lockdowns. The aforementioned graph appears to indicate that lockdowns don't make a gnat's dick of difference to containing the spread of the virus. I understand the argument that it's not about stopping the spread, but slowing the spread so that the medical system can cope with the case numbers. But at what cost? Lockdowns are ruining people's lives, their freedoms, their businesses, and their jobs. Imagine if the money that was spent on advertising perpetually smiling jab recipients, short-term subsidies to long-term business shutdowns, mostly ineffective but highly fashionable face masks, was spent on ICU beds. The system would probably cope three times over. What I see on the faces of our elected officials when they get up in front of the cameras to announce yet another month of lockdown when they discover three more COVID cases is cluelessness. They appear to only have one idea in their heads, and that's lockdowns. They don't appear at all to consider the alternative of not imposing lockdowns and just urging people to take precautions against getting sick if they themselves are concerned about catching the virus. The other thing that's noticeably absent from the endless daily updates is any recommendations for treating the symptoms of COVID. It's like coronavirus is the only illness that's ever befallen mankind that can't be treated. And that mindset is very telling. In fact, we already know that many qualified and reputable nurses and doctors who have attempted to share their recommendations for treatment of COVID on platforms like YouTube have had their videos taken down and branded as misinformation by people who have no medical knowledge themselves whatsoever, yet view themselves as the arbiters of what's true and what isn't. Hello, Susan. Then we come to the issue of vaccination. Whilst I point out that the death rate for COVID is minuscule in proportion to the population, it should be noted that adverse reactions to vaccines also appear to be minuscule in proportion to the population. In that sense, vaccines appear to be relatively safe, despite concerns that they were rushed through. There are actual reasons why the US FDA was able to fast-track approval of mRNA vaccines due to the already established generic framework upon which such vaccines are created, that don't imply that the process was just simply rushed. So in my view, if you want to get vaccinated, knock yourself out. I don't really expect a second head to start growing out of the side of your body or to be unwittingly carrying around location chips as some conspiracy theory types might imagine. But to my reckoning, the vaccine issue has nothing really to do with the vaccines or the virus. The issue really is one of domination, coercion and control versus freedom, choice and bodily autonomy. Glorious leader, no, it doesn't really matter which one, keep demanding ad nauseam to get vaccinated and keep insisting that it's the only option for getting out of lockdown, which is, of course, complete and utter horseshit. The other option is that they can fuck right off, something which we can all take care of at the next election. There's no justification for demanding that you get vaccinated, and there's no valid justification for keeping you inside or denying you access to anything because you choose to not get vaccinated. Your reasons for not being vaccinated may be as straightforward as believing on the research you've done for yourself that natural immunity will afford you a better long-term outcome than immunity by vaccine, and no one should deny you the right to make that choice for yourself. Remember how it started? It started with, no one is saying vaccines should be mandatory. Then it was, we might have to talk about mandatory vaccination for certain sectors like healthcare. Then it was, if you work in the public sector, you'll be required to be vaccinated. Then it was, all employers will be required to ensure all their staff are vaccinated. Until in the space of 12 months, we've arrived at, only vaccinated people will enjoy certain freedoms. The expression, vaccination is your ticket to freedom, tells you everything you need to know about the situation you're already in, because there's only one type of person who's granted a ticket to freedom, a prisoner. Now, glorious leader, yeah, it still doesn't matter which one, is telling us that if we don't get vaccinated, we're putting the community at risk. Can one of the glorious leaders please explain how that works? Let me guess. If you want to get on a plane and you're unvaccinated, you might end up giving all the vaccinated people on the plane COVID. Is that how it works? Or is it that the virus will only stick to surfaces and the belongings of unvaccinated people, and that vaccinated people can't possibly have any of the virus on them to transmit to others? Only unvaccinated people can transmit. Is that how it works? So if Captain Vaccination visits Grandma with COVID all over the box of Cadbury favourites they brought for her and has no idea of that because they're totally asymptomatic because they've been vaccinated, Grandma won't get it because Captain Vaccination has been vaccinated? Is that how it works? Anyway, let's finish up with some good old Aussie vaccination Nazism. I can't recall who the reporter was, but last week on the ABC, I heard a reporter say, "This is about protecting people who won't protect themselves." Who the fuck made you the arbiter of what goes into my body, woman? Then there was that Gemma Vaness, or whatever the hell her name is, say, if you don't want to get vaccinated, fine, stay at home. Isn't it amazing how these people have no idea how they're the ugliest mix of Nazism and Stalinism imaginable? And to demonstrate that, let's finish up with how bad things are now in Australia. New South Wales threatens jail time for unvaccinated people entering businesses without passport. Unvaccinated New South Wales residents who attempt to enter businesses without a vaccine passport have been warned they could face jail time. If you read the article, what they're talking about is anyone who presents a fake vaccination certificate or passport is effectively committing fraud, and that fraud is a crime for which you could be jailed. Okay, but if I turn up without a vaccination passport altogether, then I haven't committed fraud, have I? No, wait, that's right. I'm denied access to basic human rights altogether if I'm not vaccinated. You see what they're doing? They can't just throw you to the ground, pin you down and inject you. Well, not for the next few weeks until they announce another decree that bypasses legislative process. But they can arrest and jail you for walking into KFC and asking for a Zinger burger. And then once in jail, they can pin you down and inject you against your will. And whilst they can't just hold you down and inject you just yet, they just make your life untenable if you don't submit. And of course, the other thing we're seeing a lot of now is the dob in your neighbour mentality being promoted. If you see someone outside who you think might be unvaccinated, make sure you report them to the authorities. It's Orwell's junior spies come to life. I'm somewhat reminded of that scene from The Hunger Games with Liam Hemsworth and Jennifer Lawrence, where they're confined to District 9, have no basic human rights, sharing a bread roll because it's a rare luxury. Yet despite their squalor and misery, Liam still has the most amazing hairstylist on the planet.